This is Morning Edition from NPR News. Bob Edwards is on assignment. I'm Susan Stamberg. Since September 11th, FBI agents have been a major part of the war on terrorism, hunting for terrorists and hoping to prevent them from striking. How agents conduct their investigations varies from state to state. NPR's Barbara Bradley visited Michigan and found the FBI trying to work with the Muslim community there. But in Florida, she heard complaints that the agents have taken a harder line.
When you travel from Michigan to South Florida, the first thing you notice is a change in climate, not just in weather, but in the level of fear. Here, the relationship between Muslims and law enforcement is intense, a mix of mutual need and wariness. Nowhere is that more evident than here, at the Darul Uloom Institute in Fort Lauderdale. On Fridays, as many as 700 Muslim faithful gather in the mosque to pray and to receive spiritual insight from their imam.
And if we have purification of heart, we will understand what is moderation. Because when people become extremists, it is because something is wrong with the heart.
A uniformed policeman stands near the door, a reminder of the dichotomy. On the one hand, it recently came out that the FBI placed undercover agents in this congregation to ferret out terrorist plots. On the other hand, the imam, Shafayat Muhammad, invites the FBI and police to come to Friday service each week.
Like cops and officers patrolling an area, their presence will then automatically get rid of people who have hidden agenda. All these extremists, all these fanatics will automatically have to disappear.
Muhammad says he's not particularly bothered by the investigations.
If you're not guilty, why be afraid? If you have not committed a crime, why worry?
Why? Because this is Florida, says Horam Wahed. Wahed is a public defender in Miami, and since 9/11, he's overseen some five dozen cases of Muslims who have been picked up and detained. He says when the attacks occurred, people asked him, what's going to happen to Muslims?
And I said, I wouldn't worry about it because my experience has been that the government and law enforcement have always worked smart, worked with surgical precision as opposed to the broad brush. I was wrong. It turns out that they were as reactionary and as emotional as everyone across the country.
As in the rest of the country, the war on terrorism in Florida began with roundups of hundreds of people, generally men of Arab descent. In Mohammed Mobeen's case, the agent showed up at his home at 8:30 on the night of September 17th. His cousin, Javed Botta, heard the knock and found four agents from the FBI and the Immigration and Naturalization Service on his doorstep.
They said, we have come for your cousin. And go, yes, please tell me what he has done. And they said, he got the driving license at the same time when the Muhammad Atta from the same office. It's only difference of 15 to 20 minutes.
Muhammad Atta was the alleged leader of the 19 hijackers, and apparently the FBI had seen his name on the same roster of applicants. They asked Mobeen to go with them to take a polygraph test. That's the last Botta saw of his cousin.
After that, they told me he is cleared from us. We have nothing to do with him now. Now you have to deal with INS.
And that began an ongoing detention for the 20-year-old Pakistani. Since then, the FBI has interviewed hundreds more men, but methods varied widely. In Detroit, for example, the FBI sent out letters inviting the men to set up a time to be interviewed. In Florida, agents surprised people with a knock on the door. In Detroit, FBI agents did not ask about a subject's immigration status. They didn't arrive with the INS, lest they scare their subjects away. In Florida, the FBI brought along INS officers, who took the men into custody after the interview. Hundreds of people were put into Florida's detention facilities in that way. Hector Pescara, the head of the FBI's office in Miami, says he's familiar with complaints that this is unfair.
But the fact of life is that these people are in this country illegally. Therefore, although it is a violation of administrative type, not a criminal violation, they're subject to be picked up at any point in time.
Nationwide, several lawsuits are challenging the open-ended detentions, and lawyers in Florida say that the war on terrorism is beginning to infringe on other rights, the freedom of assembly, freedom of speech, and the free exercise of religion. A case that touches on all those issues is that of Adam Hassoun. Hassoun used to run a Muslim charity that the government put on its terrorist list after the September attacks. But according to his lawyer, Akhtar Hussein, the government showed no interest in Hassoun until it learned that he prayed at the same mosque as the accused dirty bomber, Jose Padilla.
And now he's been targeted, that he has some kind of connection with Mr. Padilla.
He says under the Constitution, the government needs more than that to incarcerate someone.
Just mere knowledge of someone is not enough, or mere association with someone is not enough.
The government won't discuss the details of this case. Hassoun's immigration hearings are closed to the public. The administration has decided to close virtually all such immigration hearings. That has raised questions and court challenges about the secrecy of this war on terrorism. Civil rights attorney Horam Wahed says the reason the government is taking this dragnet approach is they don't have any other means of figuring out who to investigate.
They're going to go fishing with whatever they can, and they're going to target you first based on your background, based on your religion, based on your ethnicity, and then they're going to see what you say, what your political leanings are, and what groups you associate with, and then they're going to go after you.
Again, whether these methods infringe on personal liberties is a matter for the courts. But one thing is clear, the tactics have terrified the Muslim community here in South Florida. At this mosque in North Miami, the windows are papered over, the front door is locked. After 9/11, people started coming in through the back door. But on this night, even the back door is closed. Nidal Sakhar, a Palestinian activist, says normally 30, 40, 50 people come here for evening prayers. But now, he says,
doors are locked. People are afraid to come to the mosque because they don't know who's going to be waiting for them at the mosque. I mean, you come to pray here. I mean, you don't know if the one praying next to you might be somebody who's counting every breath that you have for some made-up reasons.
There's some reason to be nervous. Recently, two men were indicted on information the FBI received from informants in a mosque. The fear can be traced to new guidelines that encourage FBI agents to visit public places to discover terrorist plots. The FBI says it has to go where they think plots are being hatched, and even some civil libertarians agree with that, in theory. The question is the surveillance focused, or is it so broad as to illegally chill the free exercise of religion? Recently, this war on terrorism has frightened a different group, Muslims who are also American citizens, like Hassan Sharif. He remembers when he first felt vulnerable, the day that Jose Padilla was detained in military custody.
Well, now, Jose is a citizen, and they snatch him up off of a plane and dump him somewhere where nobody knows, and that could be me. They could just say, oh, Hassan's an enemy combatant, and now, poof, I get no lawyer, no nothing.
The FBI says it's not about to pick up people for their conversations. It doesn't want to create a climate of fear. For one thing, the Bureau needs Muslim friends to help them with leads. But Sharif says the FBI is only alienating the community. The Muslims he knows are avoiding law enforcement.
If something was happening, they might look the other way. If somebody's going to do another World Trade Center, well, I just won't go there that day. I know that's not going to happen. But that's the kind of animosity they're stirring up.
Sharif and others say the vast majority of Muslims want to help the government weed out terrorists. But ultimately, the success of this war on terrorism comes down to how it's waged. And while everyone concedes people's rights will be violated from time to time, the question will be, are they mistakes or a wholesale shift in policy? Barbara Bradley, NPR News.